And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like falling asleep waiting, not bringing backup supplies, and getting shut out of the party. Well, isn't that just so clear now? You could walk into the world and tell everyone what the kingdom of God is like. Mean bridesmaids and a door slammed in your face. That will convert people far and wide to the wonders of Christianity. You know, I like a good challenge just as much as anyone, and I picked this parable because I'd never heard anybody preach on it before. And you know, I usually regret those decisions when I think something sounds like a fun challenge. The grace, mercy, and peace of the triune God be with you. Why are we so desperate to know what the kingdom of God is like? Is it because we're just real nosy? We can't wait for a surprise. We're worried it won't live up to our expectations. And why can't Jesus just come out and say, the kingdom of God is like going to your favorite five-star resort with all your favorite things forever. You will always feel amazing. You will not have a single worry or care, and only the people you love and don't irritate you will be there. Now that sounds like the kind of place I'm working toward. Then when we know that, we can move on to more pressing issues of the day, like encouraging people to vote, praying and providing for those on the margins, working for better gun control, stamping out ignorance and disease, protecting our LGBTQ friends and family from bigotry and hate. We don't have time to worry about the kingdom of God. We are busy. Now, let's be honest about this. This is not the most fun parable I have ever read. It clearly doesn't fit with the other stories, and it doesn't sound like the Jesus that we know that includes all, supports all, welcomes all. The easy way out is to view this parable as just be prepared for the coming of God or be left out into the cold with your foolish friends. Then I could say amen, and my friends Janice and Ellie and Linda could leave and go to the girls' basketball game immediately. They would be on time. Unfortunately, I don't believe that's what this is about. I'm sorry, girls. I think this is much more relatable to who we are now and what we need to hear. This is so radical, I want you to hold on to your new seat cushions in your pews. We are all the wise and the foolish bridesmaids, most of our life. But what does it mean to be both the wise and the foolish bridesmaid? One of the reasons this parable makes us uncomfortable is because we have been both every day. We are not immune to this story, and we are always prepared to hurry up and wait. Matthew was written after the destruction of Jerusalem at a time when Jewish institutional leaders were trying to regroup. They were attempting to consolidate the power of the heretical strands of Judaism, including all those crazy Jesus lovers. They were constantly deciding who was in and who was out. This story about Jesus' posse, who were literally shut out of the temple, it would have been easy for the people of the day to hear this story and say, I can relate to that. I know what it's like to be shut out of where I want to be. This is such a departure for us and the other stories that we hear in Matthew. Do you remember that one about fish and loaves? No one is left out of that story. It's about abundance and about sharing our abundance. The kingdom of God is about abundance and doors wide open. The Roman Empire held the power to include and to exclude. If you were wise, according to the Roman Empire, you were invited to the party. But if you were foolish and didn't help prepare the kingdom, then the empire would turn on you in an instant. The story was very relatable. Matthew's parables are mostly trying to persuade a community that has been through significant challenges to keep the faith and wait for the return of Christ. At that point, it had already been delayed beyond the first generation believers had anticipated. Patience is growing thin, and it's hard to keep the focus when you don't know exactly what you're waiting for. We do not live as if we were eagerly and immediately awaiting the return of Jesus. We have lots of other things to worry about. If you were to be totally honest with yourself right now, what is it that you are waiting on or for in this moment? I know many of you are waiting patiently and attentively for me to stop talking so you can go to lunch and take your afternoon nap. Let's be honest, we're friends here. You can tell me the truth. What if you are waiting for something a little more long-term than that? You're waiting to retire. You are waiting for this semester to end, my friends. You are waiting for a diagnosis. You are waiting for the opportunity for a new job or your current one to get better. You're waiting to have a baby, Roxanne. Are you waiting for your children to grow up? Waiting for the holidays in anticipation or dread? Maybe you're waiting to feel better or just to feel hope. Waiting for your luck to change? What exactly are you waiting on in this moment? Now, I don't mean get off your rump and get busy, like what are you waiting on? I mean, what are you waiting on? What is keeping you from doing what you would like to be doing? Maybe you are just waiting for something, anything to change. The cycle of waiting makes us all anxious. It puts us on edge, and it takes away from us being present in this moment. We become focused on what we could be instead of what is right here in front of us. We are all standing in the tragic gap. Parker Palmer talks about the tragic gap in his writings, and the tragic gap is the space between what is and what could be. And we spend most of our time standing there, holding the tension, trying to bring those things closer and closer together. We have this waiting in common. We have all experienced it at one point or another, waiting in traffic, waiting in line, waiting and waiting and waiting. As the cover of the bulletin says, I hate waiting. What Matthew is encouraging through this parable is hard. Waiting for something that is way overdue. Waiting for something you're not sure will even come. Waiting that involves the active preparation when you're not even sure what you should be preparing for. That kind of waiting is challenging. Sometimes I feel that I have experienced a lot of hurry up and wait in my life. We see that in our parable today. The bridesmaids hurry to go meet the bridegroom, and then they wait and they wait and they wait, and they all fall asleep, the wise and foolish alike. The waiting is difficult, and then disaster happens. We are all well-versed in waiting for all sorts of things. Most of the time, it doesn't really matter what we're waiting for. It's the waiting that's difficult. Not surprisingly, we are not all that different from the early Christians. As Jesus is telling this parable, he is doing some waiting of his own. He knows what's ahead of him, and I'm sure that was some pretty anxious waiting. Jesus was present with all of his followers, his detractors, and even his disciples, even as he is waiting, reminding us that Jesus continues to be present in whatever we find ourselves waiting for. He knows a bit about that particular subject. So what should we be doing while we're doing all this waiting? Waiting for our lives to begin. You know, big things like waiting for the return of Jesus, or little things like waiting for your laundry to be done or waiting for your oil to be changed. We have been given an opportunity every day to work toward the kingdom of God. Are you waiting, as you are waiting for whatever is good or bad, you can be working for justice here on earth. There is value in the waiting. Each time we bear each other's burdens, we testify to Jesus' presence. Each time we work for the poor, the lost, the lonely, we are being productive in our waiting. Each time we march, organize, vote, we are making sure that the waiting is tolerable. We are being productive in our waiting. This is a parable for rabble-rousers, people who will wait and also work. We will continue to do the work that we have been called to do, even if we are in a period of waiting. We also have to acknowledge that this work is hard. It's frustrating to sustain. It's exhausting when we can't see the outcomes immediately. And there might be other requirements on your time. But when you feel that weariness, this is the place to be. This is the place to be given encouragement and energy to carry on in your waiting. This is the place where we can acknowledge that the work is hard, but the waiting is no fun, and then we carry on together. Whether you are the wise bridesmaid or the foolish one, we are all waiting here together for the next thing, the next challenge, the next blessing, the next opportunity to show love and hope to those around us. That is the role of the church. If you are frustrated with your waiting, you're in the right place. This is a place where you can wait with each other, where both foolish and wise stay. This is a community where we sit and wait with the loss and pain together. We celebrate the triumphs and hold space for the grief. We give hope, comfort, and courage when we feel the most lost and alone. We continue to help each other in our waiting in this place with these people. You are never alone in your waiting. And I have never met a bigger group of rabble-rousers in one place in my life, other than maybe my own family. Don't be discouraged in your work for justice while you're doing the waiting. Whatever you're waiting for today, for whatever you have hurried up and fallen asleep for, I hope that you know that you're never alone in your waiting. The waiting is the most anxious and tedious part, but I wonder what you will do in the meantime. As the waiting continues or begins again with something new, what will you do? Who will you help? How will you change someone else's waiting for the better? If your waiting seems unbearable, I hope that you'll reach out to someone. Ask if someone will wait with you. Whatever you're waiting for, I pray that your waiting time will be holy. If you feel like it has been some time, you have been in some kind of waiting room your whole life, I pray that you know you're not alone. Even if you have no idea what you're waiting for, you're just waiting. May your waiting be blessed and renewing to your soul. And if you are sure that you are both the wise and the foolish bridesmaid every single day of the week, know that we will hurry up and wait with you anytime.